Today on Real Radio.
When people take the Bible, they're false prophets, and they say, well, after all, the Bible says, and they give you some absolute verse, and its meaning is completely out of context, and you're led astray, and you say, well, after all, they use the Bible. Did not Satan use the Bible against Jesus Christ in the wilderness of temptation? Didn't he not?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We arrive at chapter 17, where John reports more visions of angels, messengers. And in this section of scripture we look at today, one of these messengers talks directly to the apostle and shows him what we now know as the great harlot of Babylon. Well, exactly what is Babylon, and who is this woman? What does she represent? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs beginning a study series called Identifying the Road to Babylon.
So he carried me away in the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, that's why it's a capital S there in your Bible, into the wilderness, or an earth-made wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, drunk with the blood of Christians, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast that was and is not and yet is, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Listen, five have fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short while. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who will receive no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority from 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Verse 15, and he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. That is the world. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. I love that part right there. Verse 18, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That's in the present tense, by the way, in the Greek. We'll get into that in later days. Whatever kingdom John is seeing, he's absolutely marveling over, and the angel tells him, well, the power of this beast, the power of this image, the power of what it's meaning in regards to the city, it's enthroned now. This morning's message is entitled Identifying the Road to Babylon. Identifying the Road to Babylon. And there are portions of the Bible, my friend, that we're often tempted to ask, what on earth did that mean when we read it? Many times we can pick up the scriptures and say, what is this referring to? Well, here in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, we have the exact opposite happening. You say, Pastor, you got to be kidding me. With all the symbols and all of the weird, freaky things you just mentioned? Oh, my friend, quite the contrary. It's exactly clear. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. It is so clear what is taught in Revelation chapter 17, so clear in history, that churches have shied away from it. It is so clear that many, not all, thank God, many scholars will not pick it up and study it and expose it because of its deep infiltration into the religious systems of the world. It is so clear that that's the problem with this Bible study today. It's so clear that if we begin now to understand what John is seeing, what John is hearing, it will shock us even in the 21st century. For what we are speaking about has been alive since the very beginning. And I call it an it for a reason. It is insidious, it is sinister, and it means the destruction of souls since the beginning of souls, since the beginning of the Garden of Eden. It is a religious system that has been commandeered, or I could say, should say, engineered by Satan himself. It is so clear that chapter 17 unmasked things that we don't even want to entertain for fear. I find it very interesting that some churches, are you listening right now? Some churches in this world refuse to study the book of Revelation. Not because of chapter 1, not because of chapter 2 or chapter 5 or chapter 11 or chapter 9, but for chapter 17. This is the very reason why there are certain so-called Christian groups, so-called churches that will not open the book of Revelation because its leaders know that if you do that, the people will eventually come to Revelation chapter 17. And we'll have to deal with its meaning. And they will not take that risk. I would rather take the risk of teaching the full counsel of God this morning and have three of us show up next week than to have this church full of people that are being led astray by a very dangerous system. It all depends this morning if you are going to believe in God's word, the Bible, or the traditions of men. In Revelation 17, we read it a moment ago. Can you just mark it down for a second? If you find yourself marveling at what is being said here, you're in good company. John said in Revelation 17, verses 6 and 7, I marveled with great amazement. That word means he was shocked. He was shocked at what he was seeing and what he was hearing. This is John the Apostle. He was shocked, but the angel said, verse 7, why do you marvel? Can you hear that? What are you shocked about, John? What are you weirding out about? John, what are you so troubled by? The angel is speaking to John in a sarcasm. In other words, like this, John, you shouldn't be upset by what you're hearing. You should know from what's been revealed to you that this is the way it's going to go. John, what are you marveling about? Maybe Jesus would say this morning, church, what are you marveling about when you hear these things? And so, John is marveling. He sees these tremendous symbols and all these strange things. And you say, yeah, they sure are strange. You know what? John has no problem understanding the symbolisms, the seven heads, the 10 horns, the beast, and all this. What John, listen, everyone, what John is amazed about is what the woman on the beast, the system, turns and does. It turns and devours believers. That's what's got John shocked. He's not strange regarding the symbolisms. Neither will you be as we go through these studies. I tell you, if you're just visiting, I'm going to ask you to visit for about 2 more weeks, and then you can go on your merry way. But you and I need to hear this message from the Bible. We need to have our eyes open and our hearts prepared. Let's pray right now that that would in fact happen. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that as we tread upon this holy ground of your wonderful word, Lord, we would ask right now that our hearts would be completely laid open before your Holy Spirit, that your Bible would come in like a flood and wash away the things that we have ensconced around our lives, built up, as it were, monuments and icons and tokens of faith. And Lord, you would sweep it away like in the days of Noah. And Lord, that you would cause us right now to experience true relationship with Jesus Christ and not any system. True relationship with Jesus and not any man-made institution. True relationship with Jesus Christ, for in him and him alone we have our hope and our faith. For the Bible tells us that if we have the Son, Jesus Christ, we will be set free. So Lord, bless now the going forth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, the background of this study is all important and it will consume the bulk of our time together. It has been the passion, by the way, of nearly every biblical author to warn and to instruct against what is mentioned literally in Revelation 17. Can you jot that down? Nearly every biblical author of the Bible, from Abraham on to John and Revelation, just excluding a few, have warned about what's mentioned in Revelation 17. For what we speak about today is ancient. And the Bible warns from Old Testament to New about the horrible false religious system that it represents. And it is massive. And it is dangerous. In all but one of the books of the New Testament, it warns against the spiritual deception and the increasing of it that will go on in time. And you and I are living now in the 21st century. And the New Testament promises that such deceptions would grow worse and worse. Jot these verses down, please, if you would. There'll be six of them quickly. 2 Corinthians 11:26. Paul says, regarding the ministry, it's been difficult. I've had difficulty in journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of countrymen. Paul says in preaching the gospel, I've been in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city. I've been in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils, and this is perhaps the worst, among false believers. In 2 Corinthians 11:26, Paul warns that in the last days, certainly in his day, there's going to be a danger of false believers within the church. 2 John 1:7. That 2 John 1:7, John says, many deceivers have gone out into the world. Church, do you believe that? Do you believe in the Bible? The Bible says there are many deceivers that are out there in the world. John said it 2,000 years ago. Guess what? The Bible warns us still. There's more now than there ever has been. Be very careful. Have you picked up a tune? I know that I was gone last week. But have you picked up on a theme? It seems like it's made its way into every Wednesday night and every Sunday service of these last few months. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Have you been hearing that a lot here? Keep your eyes on Christ and on no man. Keep your eyes on Jesus and worship and pray to him and seek his face and no man. The Bible says, confess to Christ and your sins will be forgiven and no man. Listen carefully as we go through this, a very dangerous age it is in which we live. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord. That is not denying that Jesus existed, denying that he and he alone saves you from your sins. Who bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many people will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. The word here is altered. Peter says in the last days there's going to be those coming upon the world scene that you and I live in who will be religious. They will impress you. They will impress me. They will have their names plastered around the world. And they'll even be in little villages in far distant lands. Whatever it takes. Because Satan deems every soul valuable. Did you hear what I said? Satan deems every soul valuable. How so? Because, listen, he cannot inflict any damage upon God. There's no comparison between Satan and God. Satan is not some grand god, and the Lord is some grand god, and they're warring it out in some sort of celestial battlefield. God is God, and there's none like him. Satan is a fallen, created angel. Michael is his match, by the way. Michael the archangel, you all know him, right? There's going to come a day when Michael is going to clean Lucifer's clock. It's going to be a good day. There's no comparison between Satan, Lucifer, and God Almighty. But this is how Satan can affect the heart of God. God loves you. Satan hates you. God wants you saved. Satan wants you lost. God wants your life to be blessed. Satan wants your life to be cursed. You're caught in the middle of this great tugging and pulling. In whatever direction you lean, whatever direction you're going, will determine. Now you think, well, man, I'm not worshiping Satan. I'm just, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing. And I think Jesus is cool. I just can't say he's exactly my Lord. My friend, listen, he's got you. Satan's got you on that path of deception. It doesn't matter if it's wrapped in religion. And I believe that most people in hell and going there are very religious people. I do believe that. I believe there's more religious people in hell than anybody else in all of the world. I think there's more religious people there than evolutionists. It's religion that leads man away. You know, the true definition of religion is man's attempt to reach God. God came down and met us. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, as we sing in the song. 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, that's you, all of you, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they be of God or not, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in flesh, that is human flesh, is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in human flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard was coming. And listen what John says, puts hair on your back. I mean, I don't know if it puts hair on your back, but if you have hair on your back, it could cause it to stand up. That's... Now, I got away from the reverence of the punch there. Hang on a minute. He says that this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Gives you the jeebies, doesn't it? In John's day, he says, there's an Antichrist coming. But the spirit of what that guy believes in and what he promotes, it's already here. It's been here. It's already going through, as it were, a virus or a gas in the air. It's like a vapor. And people inhale it, and they go into a spiritual stupor, and they're led astray and deceived. Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. Matthew 24:10 says, and many will be offended. This is Jesus speaking. Many will be offended and will be betrayed by one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Are you being deceived in the last days that Jesus talked about? How do you know? Because you know what? Somebody can open up the Bible and point to a verse and then tell you what this verse means and completely lead you astray. How do you think Satan's going to work most effectively? By incorrectly, by wrongly dividing the word of truth. That's how cults are born. Did you notice every cult that shows up at your door has got some form of a Bible in their hand? Don't you find that interesting? Satan is smart. And if somebody opens up their Bible at your doorstep and says, let me show you what's in the Bible. If you don't know the scripture and the chapter and the prophet that spoke it and where did Jesus say this and to whom, to what people and what was meant by this. For example, the Bible says when Jesus went into the Gentile regions, he saw a man and he spit on the ground and made clay and put it on the man's eyes. So if right now, if I took that verse and said, all right, bring in a dump truck, everyone, we're going to have a healing service. Bring in the dirt. And we dump the dirt for you. Now, Jesus said that he took dirt and put it on your eyes and spit in you. And if you, listen, You laugh and all, make fun of that stuff, but that's what's happening in the world when people take the Bible, they're false prophets, and they say, well, after all, the Bible says, and they give you some absolute verse, and its meaning is completely out of context, and you're led astray, and you say, well, after all, they use the Bible. Did not Satan use the Bible against Jesus Christ in the wilderness of temptation? Didn't he not? That's why the Bible says that we are to use the sword of the Spirit. I've said this before, it bears repeating. The word in Greek is makaira. The Roman soldier had two swords, the imperial broadsword. You've all seen that one. When Russell Crowe pulled it out, it was gigantic. It's about four feet long. And the gladiator, man, when they get that baby going, they look like a helicopter moving. It's huge. Whew. Most of it is used for intimidation, crowd control, seriously. But when they got that thing going, the inertia of it, it's like a helicopter blade going. That thing's massive. But when you got into close face-to-face combat, you jettisoned your broadsword and you pulled out your makaira. Your makaira was a blade that's 18 inches in length. Why 18 inches? Because it doesn't matter how fat you are. Seriously, it doesn't matter how fat your opponent is. If you take that sword and you ram it in, remember, you're wrestling with the guy. You're down and you're up and you're down and you're up and you're wrestling and you're not looking. You're not swinging a big sword. You've got the makaira. You take that thing and you're fighting all of a sudden, wham! And you don't have to look because all you have to do is ram it in all the way enough to where it hits the hilt. And if you feel it bottom out, your opponent will be dying soon. How do you know? Because it went in 18 inches. Makaira, 18 inches. That means you've hit a vital organ. They're going to be dying. They will not live long. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says of itself that when you fight Satan, you are to not quote Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 will not help you against temptation. You need to go to the book of Corinthians, for example, and you need to quote that wonderful scripture where it says that God, who when a temptation is brought upon me, is faithful to provide a way of escape. In the book of Romans, you can stand there and say, the book of Romans declares unto me that no sin shall have dominion over me. And you slam that door and run away and take a cold shower if you have to. But you use the makaira, the sword of the Spirit. And that's how you and I in these last days will be discerning the age and the times in which we live. Just because you go to a church, they've got a steeple or a cross or they got bells or whatever. It doesn't matter. Is the Bible going out and is it changing your life? And do you know how to use it?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, giving us some valuable criteria by which we can discern and identify a true evangelical church. Quite obviously, we need to avoid any religious organization that has fallen into the trap of Babylon. Join us tomorrow here on Real Radio as we continue with more in this series called Identifying the Road to Babylon. Now, we just heard the very first part of this series on today's edition of Real Radio called Identifying the Road to Babylon. So if you'd like to hear it again, visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. In fact, you can hear quite a number of past broadcasts of Real Radio, all at no charge. As well, another free service is a subscription to our podcasts. We simply want you to be informed and equipped. realradioactive.org. And while you're there, we kindly ask that you remember the expenses involved in bringing you this daily broadcast. So if you can, prayerfully consider how you may be able to help out by contributing to our radio fund. There's more than one way to contact us. Here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. And, of course, all of our contact information can be found at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.